Low-income countries face huge costs as the climate changes. Who will help them pay? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Developing countries will need $1 trillion a year in foreign financing to help them deal with climate change and reducing emissions. That's according to a report just released by the United Nations. So where's that money coming from? The U.S. apparently is looking to the private sector for help. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here live with more on that.
Yeah, David, we're likely to get more details about this idea tomorrow at the United Nations COP27 climate conference taking place in Egypt. And that idea from the White House is to allow companies to buy up carbon credits from developing countries. And those countries would earn those credits for cutting back on their use of fossil fuels and building up renewable energy projects. Now, the Biden administration is reportedly shopping this idea around to private companies. And this would especially be a way of moving developing countries away from coal use, David, something the White House has emphasized as a priority.
Which kinds of companies would be asked to chip in?
So the Biden administration reportedly has been talking to companies in banking, consumer goods, shipping, and aviation, and notably not in the oil and gas sector, even though those companies use carbon credits a lot. At the end of the day, though, there would have to be a great deal of participation in this idea, David, because developing countries need huge amounts of financing. We learned that from the UN today. As you mentioned, it put out a report saying developing countries will need $1 trillion in outside funding and, by the way, another $1 trillion in internal financing. And all of this has to happen by the end of the decade. And right now, wealthy nations haven't even reached their pledge of just $100 billion a year for poorer nations. So there's a long way to go, and financing is expected to be the key focus tomorrow, David, at the climate conference.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. More now from that big conference in Egypt. There are differences among countries emerging about the role of natural gas in curbing climate change. Several African countries want to export more gas at a time when Europe is struggling to find supplies. Gas is a carbon-light fossil fuel. For a given amount of heat, gas puts out about 30% less climate-altering carbon dioxide. Yet, it puts out a lot of carbon dioxide. The BBC's Matt McGraw reports from that conference in Sharm el-Sheikh.
Demand for natural gas has soared in the wake of the Ukraine war. Europe has, in the main, turned to imports of liquefied gas from the US and the Middle East. But several African countries believe Europe's difficulty is their opportunity. They have put forward plans to exploit their reserves, aiming to lift millions out of poverty. However, critics say turning to gas is short-sighted. While it's less polluting than coal, the International Energy Agency says new gas fields aren't compatible with global aims to achieve net zero emissions by the middle of this century.
Matt McGraw is with our editorial partner, the BBC. It's election day in America. You can get over there. There is time. Meanwhile, market players are waiting and seeing. S&P and Dow futures are up 0.1%. NASDAQ futures are up 0.4%. The 10-year interest rate is at 4.2% this morning. A year ago, it was at 1.5%. Tomorrow, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear a challenge to the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, you say it. It's a law to keep Native American children connected to their communities by prioritizing their families and tribal members for foster placements and adoptions. From the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming, Marketplace's Savannah Marr has more on what's at stake.
At a wrestling tournament in Fort Washakie, Wyoming, Clarice and Pat Harris cheer on their 13-year-old. He puts up a good fight, but
he got pinned.
He did good, though, right?
He gets a big hug from his dad.
Almost had him.
Clarice and Pat are in their 70s. They've been foster parents for 40 years. They've taken in dozens of Native kids, including the 7 they're raising right now. Clarice wants her kids to feel grounded in their Northern Arapaho tribal community. Because when she and her siblings were growing up in foster care,
we knew we were Indians. We knew we were Indians. But, you know, we didn't know we were members of a tribe.
In their white foster homes, their Paiute identity was erased. Elizabeth Hidalgo-Reese, a professor at Stanford Law, says ICWA aims to prevent that.
To make sure that Native people have ties to their identities.
But challenges to ICWA say the law, which applies to kids and families based on their Indian status, unfairly discriminates based on race. And if the court agrees,
then lots of other Indian classifications throughout the rest of federal law are also potentially impermissible racial classifications.
Including in laws that provide services like healthcare to tribal citizens, and those that help tribal governments develop their economies, run businesses, and bring in revenue. Scholars of Indian law, like Reese, say citizenship in a tribe is not a racial classification, but a political one.
It matters a tremendous amount that tribes are seen as nations and not as races.
If the High Court overturns that precedent, Reese says tribal sovereignty itself is at risk. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And the Asia-based company that builds a lot of Apple products is making a big investment in an electric truck factory in Ohio. Lordstown Motors occupies the former GM plant there. And Foxconn is putting in $170 million to jointly develop vehicles. Lordstown stock is up 11% in pre-market trading right now. Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen Morby, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Erica Soderstrom, and Jarrett Dang. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.